So friends, if God had a flavor, what would it be? Would it be sweet? Salty? Would God have layers of complexity or be simple? And what about the ways we experience God? What about God's notes of justice? God's dashes of love, God's sprinkles of grace and mercy? Would those have a similar flavor palette? Or would they bring another layer of flavor in the meal of creation? Using our senses to think about God allows for both a complex and simple understanding. But we use our mouths to explore and understand the world around us quite a bit. We experience the world through taste, in the ways our very brains were developed. So I'm gonna try an experiment with y'all this evening that has to do with the way that our brains developed and the way that we learn to explore the world. So I'm gonna ask you to close your eyes for just a moment or soften your gaze. I know y'all don't know me, but just for a moment, take a deep breath in. Give yourself all the permission you need to slow down. Take another deep breath in. Take in the sounds around you. See if you can invite those sounds into the landscape of worship this evening. Maybe as a soundtrack to our experience. Take another deep breath in and out. So tonight I'll be reflecting on taste. What do you taste right now? Bring that with you into this reflection. And open your eyes when your senses are open for a word. Pennies. Pennies, you know, like the coins. Not only is this an awful taste, but I hate what they represent. Money, which is gross, but also pennies represent the lowest form of money. They almost always have been on the ground at some point, and they're filthy. They just aren't worth very much. The taste of pennies in your mouth is a common sign of a reaction to medication as well. So how come so many of us know the taste so well? Likely, it's because our tongues were the first of our senses to explore. You ever seen a child exploring? It's the first thing they do when they come across something new. They stick it in their mouth right away, don't they? And I wonder how many times I put money in my mouth so that I could know that the taste of it wasn't very good. Probably a lot, because I got the flu and strep quite a bit as a kid. But here's the thing. When describing a metallic taste in my mouth, you all knew exactly the taste I was talking about. Our psalmist is inviting the receiver of the message to taste the goodness of God. And we hear that expression, to taste, quite a bit in the way that we reflect in our language, don't we? We hear, oh, I was so close to victory, I could almost taste it. It's an interesting phrase. And yet, you all knew exactly what I meant when I said it. It's not quite the same as saying pennies, though. Our psalmist is attempting to explain something that my limited lens of God was having a hard time understanding. When I see the words, fear the Lord, my mind does not automatically think of a kind and loving God. I feel like you just put a bunch of pennies in my mouth, to be honest with you. Why would I fear something that is gracious and loving? Because even taste can be a weapon. Y'all ever eaten a ghost pepper chip? I don't recommend it. I don't think the psalmist is warning of a spicy pepper, but I do think the psalmist is saying, hey, this is a powerful way for you to understand the palate of God. Be careful with it. The raw power. Power's taste can be salty, bitter, or sweet, and sometimes it's a little bit like kettle corn. When someone says something with their full chest in the name of God, it has power. Why do you think we protest injustice with hymns? It's because our belief that peace is actually possible. The taste of God can also be a flavor enhancer for power. And with power comes a responsibility. The psalmist isn't saying this is a flavor not to be used, but it might be something that should be taught to be used, or it should be used carefully. Saffron is one of the most expensive spices in the world and can sometimes be more expensive than gold. When used correctly, it can create a balance of fragrant aromas, but when used too much, can often ruin dishes and become unsafe for the dish to even eat. If you desire life and want to live and want your days to be filled with good, our psalmist would recommend that we wield that power carefully. Make good choices. Do good things. But, oh psalmist, is it so easy? I think we often want the step-by-step recipe and instructions. You know, just tell me what needs being done, because I don't know about y'all, but I have decision fatigue. Amen? We want to know what's the right way to bring about the proper flavor of the dish of life. And there might be recipes that are tried and true. But the psalmist reminds us that we must also follow our hearts in these recipes. So often, if a recipe calls for garlic, I will put twice that amount that it says, because subtle flavors are often lost on me. But garlic will punch you in the face with flavor. But I didn't start grabbing spices out of the cabinet when I was learning to cook. I actually was taught to add things to the pan and when to add them, and you know, based on taste, I started working from my heart to see what was going to taste most heavenly. But how do we know what flavor needs to be present while we're invoking the name of God? And this we give thanks to those who have used recipes before us that have worked. And we tweak them with our hearts to use the ingredients of the day. But these old recipes remind us not to bring too much flavor and overpower the dish. Maybe punching my face with garlic every meal isn't the best idea. Similarly, the way in which we invoke God to our cause can overpower the dish of God's creation. And what ways have we seen this in recent very powerful rhetoric in the form of misinformation and propaganda? To me, it tastes like pennies in my mouth and the very capitalism that it represents. My tongue rejects it, and yet it makes me salivate as well. It is a powerful image, that of pennies, that resonates distaste, and you all knew it when I described it. We don't need to know the reason for evil, or even to examine it. We can step away from it. We can spit it out. I don't need to know why someone feels justified to harm someone else, but I can say it is distasteful, no matter the reason. I think that previous chefs have probably figured this out. I don't know if our psalmist was a chef, but I do think that there is wisdom in building upon flavors in the dish of creation. I do think that we should be careful with what we taste and how we experience the world. We should trust that if something doesn't taste right, we should probably spit it out. And there's a reason we distrust it, based on flavors our brains have collected over time. So if evil had a flavor, what would that flavor be? Would it be foul, sweet, salty, or would it have layers of complexity? Would we know to spit it out if we tasted it? And what about the flavor palette of evil? The greed, the control, and the fear. How do we remove those flavors from our creations? Our psalmist might recommend a colander or a strainer of peace. If it can pass through the refiner of peace, then we are to seek and pursue it. But, O psalmist, is it so easy? There is a range of peace in the world, just as there is a range for flavors. Our strainers are not all one size fits all. We develop a palette over time for the flavors we wish to create, sure, but some of us have been beguiled by evil. We might have eaten a ghost pepper chip. We are likely a little skeptical of spice and might use a finer strainer. And having had my taste buds melted off, would you blame me for having a more narrow strainer for spice when making a meal? Probably not. And so would you provide the same flavor of grace for others who have been burned by the taste of evil? Peace does not mean bland. But it is a delicate balance we are to discern, just as we did when we were children exploring and learning the world through our mouths. But I won't leave us with the idea of ghost pepper chips or garlic that packs a punch or pennies, right? Instead, let's go back to our experiment with our brains. Close your eyes for just a second again. Soften your gaze, whatever feels good. Take a breath in and relax into the feeling of grace right now that surrounds you. Take another breath in. Give thanks for the time to think of God in delicious ways. Take one more deep breath in. And imagine you just placed a fluffy bit of cotton candy on your tongue. And you're holding it there. And when it's completely dissolved, open your eyes. Friends, peace is so close, we can taste it. We have the ability to imagine the taste of God, and we have the ability to have similar experiences in our brains. We can name peace, and we can taste it. We can also make good choices and do good things. The psalmist reminds you to trust your taste. Seek peace and pursue it. Make it so close you can taste it. Amen.
Amen.